Well, okay. We'll pull the reins in a little bit and calm down on you folks, because we've got all cattywampus on you. And yes, we are live, and today is November the 27th for all you guys out there in the chat room. And we're going to be talking to Tommy Attaway because, I think we need to revisit what is a republic over and over and over again. And Tommy speaks a lot about a lot of things, and, well, he's, yeah, whatever. I'm moving on. Tommy, are you there? Well, that sounded like there was no Tommy. Oh, anyways.
Okay, how about now?
Okay, that's Tommy. How you doing today, Tommy?
I'm doing good. How is everybody out there?
Oh, Alan, Doc, are you guys fine? Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. Hey, so Tommy, you know, that subject of, well, governance for Texas, you know, we go into this whole thing when Texas regains its independence. The picking a form of government is kind of crucial for me in my understanding, because as we go through the revolution, you know, here in, well, the globe, if you want to call it Earth, sooner or later it's going to come down to somebody having to break apart and say stop. And let's redo the whole thing. So my concern is that we're going to stop it, and then we're going to create whatever the heck we're living in now in the corporate United States, and, you know, keep all the statutory laws and, you know, just be independent and appoint like Abbott as king and move on from the corporate history. What do you think? You've had those thoughts, right?
Right, you know, doing what we're currently doing just on a smaller scale only inside Texas, I think, you know, is only going to lead to the same result that we've currently got. So we really have to think about what our model of governance needs to be in order to ensure individual liberty. And, of course, with any of these discussions, you have to start with, what are we trying to achieve? What is our goal? What should be the proper goal of government? And if you go back with a historical view such as I do, there are really five major political thinkers, and I go with John Locke. And with his view, the point of government is to secure your life, your liberty, and your property. Those are the only legitimate functions of government.
Okay, that sounds good to me. We've had people on the show previously that talk about natural law or independence, you know, the more libertarian view, you know, where they go, well, I think one of the videos they like to share around is a simple video on a philosophy of liberty. I think, did I get that wrong, Tommy? You ever see that?
I think I know the video you're referring to, and
it's kind of,
yeah, if you
go ahead.
If you get off into the far libertarian thought, there's a branch that are of the opinion that you really don't need any government at all. You can create a self-enforcing mechanism by which things just kind of work out on their own.
Yeah, and I see that too, and I just wanted to touch on that real quickly before we move on to talk about what is a Republican form of government and the different macerations of such, because a lot of people sit there and tell me, well, we don't need a government because, well, everybody has to elect the government, and then if we have a Republican form of government, what if I don't want to be part of that Republican form of government? And it's like, well, you're infringing upon my liberty to not have a government and so forth. And I guess that's where I'd like to kind of start. In a Republican form of government, let's say, let's take the Constitution of the Republic of Texas. Let's start there. Now, when that defined the role of the people that were elected into power. Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, when we look at the 1836 Constitution of the Republic of Texas, you know, you saw a lot of voting going on. So you're voting for your representative every year. You're voting for the president every 2 years. You're voting for senators every 3 years. And, of course, you have all of the local and county offices that are up for election every year. So what they're thinking is that the more often a politician or office holder has to return to the people in order to have his mandate either verified or pulled from him by electing somebody else, and as we note, the president could not succeed himself, so he only had his term, then he had to vacate office. You know, what they're doing is they're trying to get to what we would call today some form of term limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you don't want a permanent political class that's ultimately unhealthy for a republic.
Yeah, professional politicians are the bane of the whole system.
Yeah, if we go back to the founders of the United States, they never envisioned political parties being functioning or successful.
Yeah, well, maybe they shouldn't have been, but they sure came out of nowhere. Well, they came out of somewhere. Okay, so I guess let's talk about that, term limits. Now, in the corporate United States of America, you can be a congressperson, congress critter, for all your life, pretty much, right? And that's kind of seems wrong. And they really aspire for that. And they promote that and promote individuals being in those positions because they got, well, packages, retirement packages, super duper health care and whatnot, and influence and power and money. How do you regulate that? Is that through the Constitution? If we were to start over again, taking a Constitution based on the Republic of Texas Constitution in 1836, is it adequate in dealing with that?
I think it's certainly a good point to consider carefully. And I think that there's two approaches one could take at the issue. One would be a very interesting approach would be to amplify what was done with the 1836 Constitution and extend it to all offices so that if you only get one term and then you've got to move out during the next term, you know, that kind of breaks up that sort of cabal, you know, and I think that's a pretty effective measure. What you lose is if you think you need some form of continuity to where experience matters, then initially you're not going to have that. And you may end up with what we had in the First Republic where, okay, Sam Houston's in office and then he's out. Then he's back in. Then he's out. You know, you may find that you ultimately start rotating office holders. The next term or next approach is to limit the amount of time someone can serve in a office to a total number of years.
Okay.
And so if you take one or both approaches, you know, what you do is that you ensure that the offices are more likely to be held by people who don't have an interest in that in acquiring that form of political power.
You know, when I look at those times, Tommy, and I'm not a severe historian, I guess I'm a really a generalist, but I look back to the times of the United States of America, before it was the United States of America, or I don't know what it was. It was before George Washington, during the Federalist Papers time, and hearing some stories, and correct me if I'm wrong, but George Washington was having issues trying to get his troops fed and paid, and part of that was allegedly thrown on the people in Congress, you know, that they were holding the purse strings where they were trying to get money to feed the troops and pay the troops, but they had no control, right? You know, the representatives would have to go back and talk to their constituents and say, hey, we need money. And they go, oh, hell no, I'm not giving any money. Then they go back, and then George Washington disbanded the troops, and that's why we got more power at the federal level for that. Did I get that right? Am I wrong? What do you see that part of history like?
the mechanism was that the Continental Congress, being the national government such as it was funded by the states. So the Continental Congress would ask each of the states for a contribution of money, and that's where the money came from. And so what you had was states quite frequently either didn't have the money themselves or would refuse to contribute as much as was requested. And so this puts the Continental Army in a bind because it's not funded. And then later the same thing happens with the national government, so that after independence is recognized, American shipping no longer has the protection of the Royal Navy, and the Barbary pirates, being the first group of Muslims we have to deal with in the history of our country, are raiding American shipping. And so the 1780s are a period of economic depression. If you're a crop grower, say, in Virginia or South Carolina, and you're going to sell your crop overseas, it has to be shipped. And, of course, you're going to ship it in an American ship, and because of the piracy, the insurance rate on your cargo is 30% of the value of the cargo. And, of course, if you're a farmer, you're not cash intense, so you can't afford the insurance. The ship gets captured, so the ship owner is out the loss of the ship. You're out the value of your cargo. And every insurance writer in the United States is going bankrupt. So one of the big problems that we had with the Articles of Confederation was the inability to protect our economic interests around the world. And that's one of the things that the federal constitution was designed to solve, because, as we know, one of the powers of Congress is to provide for a navy.
Now, my question to you then would be, could we provide that kind of continuity nowadays with our technological prowess? Let's just say, you know, we can sure communicate a lot better. The funding is, was that a problem? I mean, when they were having funding problems with the state that couldn't pay them anything, can you squeeze water from a rock? Well, I guess you can, but can you get money from a rock?
Well, you really can't, and that's why you had the Shays Rebellion and the Whiskey Rebellion. Is that ultimately governments were trying to tax people who didn't have any money. You know, they had property, they had land, and a property-related tax or a production-related tax on people that aren't making any money doesn't work. And so that's why the federal government initially is financed through tariffs, so that the importers, the people bringing goods into the country, are paying the taxes, because they're the businessmen who are selling those things for cash.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to figure out where in history this government went wrong and where we need to start and how we need to start. And I know it isn't up to us to figure this out, right? I totally understand that, because once Independence Day comes, then we have to have had this conversation over and over again on multiple platforms. That's just kind of my thought. So what would you do, Tommy, if
the first thing, you know, I would do is I would give no official public recognition to political parties. They're nothing more than private organizations, and they should not be recognized by government as any sort of legal entity.
Okay, that's good, but it's a real hard question for me to format, because we don't know. You'd first have to define how Texas got its independence again, and say, okay, we're in charge. We're going to have a president, and we're going to have elections, and are we going to start with the Constitution? And, you know, do we amend the Constitution? I just get so. It's so big, such a huge task. One would say we might as well just grab a pillow and bury yourself in democracy.
Well, I think we can look at it in terms of two components that we really need to work on. One is the governing model itself. What is the government going to be authorized to do? And we need a very clear statement of, if it's not in the list, government can't do it. Then we need the enforcement mechanism, which historically has been the idea of the militias, that when you have an armed population, well, it's best expressed by Niccolo Machiavelli, good arms and good laws go together. Where the people have recourse to good arms, no prince dare make a bad law.
Okay, that's good. Did I hear you there, Alan?
It all comes down to control of information and the education that people receive as to what their world is. Everyone, that the control of the information makes the society that you live in. If what you're told and what you perceive, besides what you can perceive in your local environment, that's why I say everything has to stay as local as possible. When it starts getting beyond your area of control, the only way that you have to form an opinion of what's going on beyond your field of view is the information you're given. And if you're given wrong information, if that's taken over and controlled as to what you receive, how you perceive your world, that's the whole thing. And what our children are taught.
Well, in context of where we are today, that is very important, and that's kind of why you're on the radio, Alan. I know Doc and Tommy, you're here to expand the view of people's perceptions. But, you know, when we start looking at creating a new republic, I guess what Tommy is going after is to, are you talking about creating a new constitution for a republic and one of the parameters?
Yeah, I am, in terms of governance. And the other major thing that we need to consider carefully, because it's going to have a major impact on our ability for the government of Texas to last, is how does one become a citizen? How does one define citizenship? What is citizenship? And to whom is it granted or given? Because that is going to have a tremendous impact on the whole system, top to bottom, because this tells us who is going to be eligible for office and who can vote.
And that's a key point. I've heard an awful lot of discussion on that particular point, and it's like, well, when we gain our independence, there's a model that goes, we gain our independence, and the people that declare themselves part of Texas are part of Texas, and the people that don't aren't. And they could still live here, but they've got to figure out what's going on first to become a Texan, because we could, if we allowed everybody to vote in Texas today, they'd probably vote themselves back into a cage. That's an argument.
Right. And how do you keep that system? Yeah, how do you keep that system going when everyone can vote on everything? I mean, what do you think non-land property holders are going to vote for an increase in property taxes? And the people who actually own the property are saying, no, you know, we're trying to, you know, keep this whole thing going here, and you're voting us out of existence, you know, because you want more from the system. You know, that at one point property holders, you know, could not vote, or non-property holders could not vote on certain things, I know. What is the whole history of that, Tommy?
This is one of the things that we've now become so used to, the idea that just being alive and being over the age of 18, you know, entitles you to have a stake in saying how society is going to be run. And that has not always been the case. There are a couple of different models, one of which was that citizenship was hereditary. It was depended on your parents. The other was it depended on owning property. And there's another number of ideas out there which are going to be interesting and really should be the foundation for a serious public discussion on what criteria we want to use to establish citizenship.
Republic of Texas Radio will be right back.
It's time. time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with three shots from the rear and one shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. We're talking, well, restoring Texas. We're talking about what kind of government needs to be set up or should be set up or what should we do. And one of the discussions that we were just getting into, which is a good one, by the way, you can participate in this show if you want to. 1-800-313-9443 if you got any problems or questions, or maybe you got an answer. That'd be cool. I like answers. One of the questions was, who, once we restore the Republic of Texas, Texas independence, what do we do? Who's a citizen? Who can vote? One of the things that we just brought up was, well, maybe only landowners should vote. But that's kind of scary. And personally, I don't like that because I have no land. Man. So I wouldn't be voting for that, but then I couldn't vote if we've made that to vote. And I don't know. I get all confused on that, Tommy. It's rather fascinating. But it's crazy, and I don't have to deal with it. But we need to have this talk. What do you think?
We do, and the argument for property owners being the citizenry as a primary source is that the people who are making decisions about the society should be those that have the biggest stake in the outcome of those decisions. Now, one of the things about having voting criteria or citizenship criteria, you have to think of what type of bureaucracy is going to go along with maintaining the records, the proof, the qualifying the people who are going to meet those criteria. So anytime you have a rule, there's always somebody or something that goes around with enforcing that rule. And so that's also a consideration of, all right, you know, what should be the criteria for citizenship and what entitles you to vote. One of the things that I thought was interesting.
Do you limit how much property a person can own? Because, you know, if you have someone with a lot of money come in,
then you've got to be able to prove to the guy that keeps the voting rolls, okay, you know, I own enough property to be a qualified voter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what about these guys who want to come in and own the whole state of Texas, and they've got the money to do it? You know, I mean, then they're the only one who votes. You know, this is where government, it becomes so bogged down, because one form of government cannot be fair to everyone out there.
Yeah, so if we look at the original 1836 Constitution, you know, they predicated the right to vote on military service. So if you refused to perform military service or didn't make a militia call up, you lost your right to vote.
That's a valid point.
We're looking at the concept of the people who should be able to make decisions about the society are those that show that they have the willingness to defend that society.
To defend it, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point.
I like that. You know, it's really funny how they've already had these arguments in the past, Tommy, and we've got to revisit those.
Yeah, if we remember the Battle of Waterloo, you know, the Duke of Wellington, national hero of England. Well, less than 20 years later, there was a proposal in Parliament that every male adult resident in the United Kingdom would get the right to vote, and Wellington was opposed to that. And there was a riot, and people broke his windows, and they were going to burn his house down and such. And so, you know, you can go from hero of the country to absolute pariah in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just for thinking that, you know, not everybody ought to be able to vote.
About this, Tommy? How about anyone who wants to live in the country of Texas has to be willing to participate in its governance? Where if you live here, your name goes into a hat, and like you said, you know, every year when elections come up, we pick a little girl out of the crowd. She comes up, she sticks her arm into a big vat of pieces of paper with people's names on it. She picks out and says, "Okay, Tommy, you're going to be governor this year. Steve, you're going to be comptroller of the currency. Doc, you're going to be attorney general or a surgeon general or whatever." You know, would that be a way to do it so everyone has to participate and be willing to participate and know what's going on around them?
Certainly, and of course, you sometimes think.
Okay, I couldn't. Sorry, folks. We just lost the phone line there. And Alan had just asked the question of Tommy of whether, you know, the right to vote would be contingent on your ability or willingness to serve the people. I'll go one more further, and Sam's going to go ahead and get Tommy back on, and then we will have him finish this. But what I was thinking, Alan, while you were saying that, was that what if I went to Washington? Nah, it's not Washington, it's Austin. And you know what, guys? We should move the capital from Austin. It's somewhere that's built correctly. That place is a mess. But my thought, Tommy, now that you're back on the thing, is if I went to Austin or our Washington and I screwed up after she picked my name out of the hat, they're going to have to recall me because I screwed up, and then I wouldn't be able to vote. At least I think that's fair, and that's the music. Hey, we'll be right back, folks. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You know, as the commercial came on, I turned my back for a second and my microphone flew out of its stand. Craziness, folks. And we lost Tommy and we lost Alan and just everything's going wrong. Maybe it's not all going wrong. We were talking about qualifications to vote in, well, the country of Texas, and we're just throwing out a little stuff before we lost Tom. Tommy, you're there, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so where we lost you, we were talking about, you know, services being one of those things, and I talked a little bit about me going to, well, service and getting kicked out, and I think that if I got kicked out of service, I should be disqualified to vote for some amount of time, but we'd have to figure that out in the end, right?
Yeah, we'd have to figure that out in the end, and, you know, one of the things about the militia system is its definition of able-bodied, and the entrance requirements for active duty today would be two different things. You know, militia service is typically a little bit less strenuous, so, you know, people who might not be medically qualified for active duty service, you know, could still perform militia service.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to define all these little terms. You and I are could be qualified as militia, you know, if all of a sudden magic, bing, we're Texas, the country again. I'd say, well, hey, man, I can vote because I've been talking about this for a long time, trying to make this a reality. I did my time. And, well, you could say, no, you haven't. You actually have to do that. But we'd have to figure that out in the end. Do you see my point there, Tommy?
Of course. And, You know, the point is that as long as we have clearly established rules and they're fairly applied, then we have a system by which anyone who has the desire and is willing to do what it takes, you know, could then qualify himself or herself to be a citizen of Texas. And, you know, one of the things that, we, I think, need to get our heads around is the idea is that not everybody living here needs to be a citizen. You know, you can still have your legal protections for life, liberty, property, and not be a citizen. Well, the idea of citizenship is that is what entitles you to participate in governing the republic.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not participating in that, you're just being bossed around by the people that are quote citizens, right?
Well, bossed around in terms of,
well, I say that in a negative term, but the citizens would make the rules and everybody else would be forced to follow them. I'm going at it from the libertarian side, right?
Yeah, somewhat. And of course, the idea here is that if we have the correct type of system in place, how many rules are there going to be? And this is where I come back to the pernicious influence of political parties, because they are organized efforts to try and get the government to do something, and frequently to solve a problem that doesn't exist.
Mm.
So when you want stuff like, all right, I've got to get a license from Texas in order to fix air conditioners, well, some political group and political party pushed that idea.
Right.
If you didn't have political parties, anytime somebody wanted to get something done in terms of a law, you would have to go through a whole lot of effort to build coalitions and try and get something passed into law before the next election came up and all of the people would get replaced. And you'd have to start all over again. And so what you have with that type of system is that nothing gets done unless it's really important, and just about everybody agrees that it's important. And I don't see that as a bad thing.
No, I don't see that as a bad thing at all. Hey, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Hey, Earl Dickey, what's going on, man? Good to see you.
Yeah, Steve, good morning, and good morning, gentlemen.
What's going on with you, man? We got your ear.
All righty. I hope everybody's doing good this morning. Tommy, it's good to hear you. You have outstanding knowledge on a lot of different areas.
Thank you.
I'd like to go back up to the term limits to start with. Now, I personally am against the term limit. I don't like to see these politicians in there forever. But on the other hand, I believe if you go to a term limit, the people will fall back in what we are in now, complacency. Oh, he's only going to be in there for two terms or three terms. Yeah, what's the point of having a jealous eye upon him or her? So I think that would lead into what we have today, a disaster.
Hmm. And, well, I was hoping. Continue.
No, go ahead, sir.
What I was thinking is we need to be more responsive to governing our country. You know, if I go to, you know, the state house or the, you know, Capitol, Austin, wherever we put the dang thing, if I start screwing up, we need a mechanism to pull me out of there. Right. Quick, easy, no big thing. Right. We have to figure out a way to incorporate a responsiveness to this. Term limits. I don't want any long serving people. Somebody, a president that would serve, let's say, 10, 20 years. Well, the legacy of, you know, JoJo Banks or whatever. I don't know. I really would like to limit that and limit the structure. Let's throw that to Tommy. What are your thoughts?
One of the things that's interesting about the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers is that it showed what the founders thought was going to happen as opposed to what actually did happen. And so they considered elections to be term limits. But, of course, that presupposes that you have a citizenry that's interested in public affairs and is actively engaged. And we know from today that's not the case.
And free and fair elections.
That, too.
But we also didn't have the ability to communicate. We didn't. I mean, they didn't have the ability to communicate like we did. We do today. You know,
but well, our communication's much faster today. But in their day, more people were interested in reading papers and reading pamphlets because that's how you got information. And people were interested in being informed and knowing about the world around them. We're a little bit more siloed today.
Who printed those papers and pamphlets, and who gave them that information? See, that's where the whole thing goes screwy. You always have, if we lived in a perfectly decent moral society, that might work. But you have the people that know that, man, if we can get hold of printing those pamphlets and flyers and stuff, we can create the world that people live in, and they won't know what we're doing up here, will they?
That's
where the whole
Facebook
thing always gets twisted.
Well, that's been one of the advantages of the Internet, is that now it's much easier to be a publisher or a broadcaster. And so your real challenge now is finding your audience and people obtaining information from sources that they trust and like.
Okay.
Yeah, because as far as I'm concerned, we have not been given history. We've been given a story, not history. I mean, Tommy, how hard have you had to dig for a lot of the stuff that you've come up with? You know, this isn't stuff that was just put in front of our face, you know, and said, here it is. No, you had to dig for the information that you found out.
Quite true, but I was also fortunate in that the times at which I went to schools, I went to Texas A&M when it was still very conservative, and so the history department typically had people with military service in it. And their view of history, you know, how they would present information to you, where they would point you to look, you know, is very different than it is today. And so today, students are given what is considered to be the truth by the faculty, and they're really not encouraged to be independent, intellectually curious.
True. Mm-hmm. Were you ever taught about Smedley Butler?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did hear about Smedley Butler at A&M,
in
huh?
In school?
Yeah, well, you know, one of my history professors in a lot of military history was a Korean War veteran. And mm-hmm. He was in the MP, and, you know, he was very aware of certain things. And, you know, it's just one of the advantages. It depends on who your teachers and mentors are quite frequently in these things as to whether or not you're going to be a person who's going to be intellectually curious or you're going to be a smug, arrogant pajama boy.
Pajama boy. Oh, that's funny. Hey, Earl,
yes.
What do you got for us?
Okay, one quick question, side note here to ask Tommy. By any chance, was that professor of yours Dr. Elwell?
No, the professors I had were Dr. Frank Vandiver, Dr. Roger Beaumont, you know, a couple of other guys that, you know, were either Rand Institution types or you know, had actually worked with military war colleges. And so, you know, my perceptions of American history are very different from what the typical student gets in most universities today.
Right. Okay, because my friend, he was a Korean vet, Marine Corps up there, he taught up there where you were, I believe. I would like to add one or two other things, if I may, Steve.
Well, go ahead.
In sight of what you were saying, you know, how to prevent or how to extract anyone who has obstructed the law while being in office, I think we already have a mechanism, and I think it's found in the preamble, and that's to promote the general welfare. Now, if you're not going to promote the general welfare, that means you're doing something else. And then if government is going by what we want it to go by, thou shalt not. If an individual cannot steal or whatever, That means collectively as a body politic, they cannot do the same thing. So if they do so, they have obstructed the law of nature. And then I think by that mechanism there alone, they could be brought forth to some sort of hearing. But as far as property, ownership, voting, well, as it stands right now, as you all know, we have no ownership of property. So that has to be replaced back to the people.
Because we,
you won't get any argument from any of these voices.
Right.
Not on that.
And as far as military services to be able to vote, well, here again, I look at it a little differently, you know. I understand because of the times that we live in, we do need some sort of standing army. But I think if it becomes too large, then they're going to have to find something for it to do. And the concept of a militia, as Tommy's bringing forth, that's the basic theme, I think, of the Revolutionary War, because most of them were units of militia. And that's the way it should be. Therefore, it would be a lot easier to maintain and to function. And that's about all I had, and I think your program this morning is outstanding.
Hey, thanks, Earl. Really appreciate that. And I'm going to jump in there real quick before I give it to Tommy. So this discussion this morning in the second hour feels to me a lot like what must have happened after Texas gained its independence. They had to sit down in a room, Tommy, and figure out, well, how are we going to do this? Did you study that at all? Am I wrong in thinking that these questions were already asked?
True. You know, we've been here before. Unfortunately for us, you know, there's been a considerable time lapse from the last iterations. So if we look at when the Articles of Confederation were formed, Constitution of the United States is formed, Constitution of Texas, you know, they faced these problems. What they had going for them was a finer view of history in terms of, okay, they could look at and were familiar with the Roman Republic, the Greek city-states, political thinkers, and were then able to craft what they thought of as the best possible solution under the circumstances. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to have to do ourselves, which is we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to look at what they did and evaluate over the course of history, because now we've got 150 years plus, 200 years plus, of, all right, how did those attempts work out? Where were they weak? Where were they strong? And, you know, to my way of thinking, you know, one of the things that starts to go wrong with the U.S. Constitution is the 12th Amendment, because it recognizes political parties. Think of how different the United States government would be today if instead of Joe Biden, Mitt Romney was the vice president as it was originally designed.
That'd be, yeah, I guess that would be totally different. Then he'd have somebody, an opposing view. But in the Constitution, as it exists, it didn't have all the controls that we have on the corporate United States of America with all their, you know, standing godlike powers of the president.
Yeah, you know, we've got the imperial presidency, which is, you know, for all practical purposes now, we've elected a dictator for 4 years. And, you know, the Congress isn't doing its job. The court system's corrupt, you know, so you've got just a total system failure, and we have to look at this and say, how did that happen, and how can that be prevented in the future?
I don't know. I think it is by having this kind of conversation over and over again, and I look forward to the day that we actually have this full-on conversation once Texas regains its independence. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. Hey, Doc Krupa, you're quiet.
Yeah, well, I'm here.
I know.
I had a few thoughts on all this. One of the things nothing that anybody's talked about except what Alan touched on a little bit has ever worked. And what I think is you don't have to worry about term limits, because you do, like Alan said, each county has different people rotate through different jobs. Just like now they call you for jury duty, they call up a bunch of names and you fill the positions and you hold it for 2 years. And that way you wouldn't be voting for anything for yourself, and you wouldn't be exempting yourself from anything because you're only going to be there 2 years. Anybody that pays, I would go to a flat tax on everything that you bought and no other kind of tax. That way, if you spent $1 million, you paid paid tax on that. And a lot of these problems would go away.
Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back after the break, folks. Hang on.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
At this point, I'd like to, I hate to do this, folks. I'm closing down the phone lines because we have Tommy Attaway here, and we kind of had a focused discussion, kind of focused loosely. Tommy Attaway, executive director over at Freedom Texas, freedomtexas.org. We've been talking, well, what do we do? How do we set up a government? Tommy, where are we on the path to Texas independence? What do you see? What do you see in the corporate U.S.? Where are we as a country, as a world? What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, the world is in a very dynamic, probably soon to be increasingly violent phase around the world. And if I had to pick an analogy with the past, I'd say we're probably reliving the 1930s. And I think what is going to happen is, as a result of this increasing violence around the world, it's going to put an enormous amount of stress on the United States. And in the United States, we essentially have two groups of people inhabiting the same territory. One group believes in individual rights, individual liberty, wants to generally be left alone to pursue whatever endeavors they see fit to do so. Another group sees government as the engine for promoting good things and is a socially desirable way of making people's lives better, however they define better. And these two groups can't mutually coexist. You know, there is no ultimate area by which we can reach a compromise that keeps both groups satisfied. This leads to one of three outcomes. We either return to a federal system of government in which the various states are permitted a great deal of freedom to pursue the economic policies and political policies that most of the people in those states deem proper, or we have a breakup of the United States based on these fault lines as to what you see as the nature and proper role of government, or we end up with another civil war in which the winning side does a beat down on the others. And
sad. That's sad. Oh, okay. I'm over it. Yeah, we do. I do see that turmoil coming up. I don't have your view of history. I'm going to have to look at that 1930s view of history. And, well, define that a little bit real quickly. Are you talking about
all right, we have an aggressive entity in Asia. This time it's China rather than Japan. We have a major country in Europe which has gone through severe economic and political turmoil and is now trying to reassert itself, meaning Russia, instead of Germany. And I think that we're going to see some rather similar outcomes as we saw in the 1930s.
Okay, well, I'll have to take a quick look at that. Well, maybe it'll be an extended look at it, that. We're getting ready to go into 2017, and I'm not too sure we're going to bring you on this year. But, man, I want to continue that conversation. Tommy Attaway, thank you very much.
Certainly. Enjoyed it.
Okay, Republic of Texas Radio, guys. See you next week.
Dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.